Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 58, Policing for the Better.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Color Country Politics. I am Jenny Hendricks, along with my co-host,
Jesse Harris.
And I am so thrilled, you guys, I'm so excited to have the guests on today that we have. We have two people who are so incredibly important to this community, and I'm so grateful that they both had time to get on here together. We've got Cedar City Chief of Police Darren Adams and Iron County Sheriff Ken Carpenter. So, and they're actually together in the same space. So welcome, both of you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
All right, let's jump in and get started. There's kind of two main things that we want to get through, and we'll try to keep it moving, but there's been so much happened in the last few months. The first thing I wanted to ask you guys about is, with the COVID sort of quarantine, economic impacts, I've been involved with some community organizations who have reported that there has been a pretty significant increase in domestic violence, in suicide attempts, in people needing more of those social services. So from your perspective, each of you with the city and the county, kind of talk to us a little bit about what you've seen as a result of that quarantine and that lockdown, that economic kind of shutdown that's affected so many people. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, Jenny, I think you're exactly right. Is we have seen an increase in things such as suicide attempts, domestic violence. You know, Cedar City has had a homicide/suicide. We've had more DUI arrests. We've had more fatality accidents out on the freeway initially when everyone was locked down. You know, we've had a lot of different problems that have arisen from this. And I think that a lot of it just comes down to people trying to be good citizens and trying to obey, you know, the social distancing requirements and whatnot. But when you're stuck at home with nothing else to do, you're suffering from economic loss, it creates a lot of stress and it creates a lot of pressures that aren't, you know, where they don't have a legitimate release for those stresses and whatnot. And so I think that it was inevitable that we were going to see a lot of these types of issues. And, you know, hopefully now that we're starting to get our life back more to normal, I think hopefully we're going to see decreases in some of those numbers.
Chief Adams, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I would echo the sheriff's comments exactly. You know, I think you talk oftentimes about being cooped up, right? Husbands and wives together, go to work, go to recreate. And there's that ongoing joke, for lack of a better term, that exists. Whereas, you know, if so-and-so retired, I would kill him because he would bug me all day. And those are for the retired folks. But I think there's some truth to that. When you are, I don't want to say cooped up, but when you are together without release, without a break, without other input, whether that's recreational or academic input and trying to find some alternatives, it's just human nature that we get a little bit cranky. And we've seen that as well. I happened to work a patrol shift with my guys the other day and went on a domestic, and it was a direct result of that. A young couple together with children, traveling back and forth, and we'd had issues with them in the past, but this kind of came to a head. People need that external input. They need to be able to get out and do things. And when they can't, it tends to just boil over.
So what should the community do to help that? I think we're kind of coming out of it as we start to open up. We're, yellow right now. Hopefully we'll be at green, I think, on the 26th of June. But I can anticipate maybe some lingering effects economically, you know, until we get everybody sort of back to where we were. So as community members, what are you seeing? Is there anything that the community can do as far as outreach or support or anything like that?
You want to take that? Or?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, I think just being a good neighbor, being a good friend, reaching out to people. You know, one of the things that I think that we haven't even really begun to see yet is the long-term effects of the economic stagnation. Even though a lot of people are back to work here in Iron County, you still see that we're having problems in getting resources in. Just to give you an example, I took a picture into Half Frame the other day, and you know, the art shop is saying that they can't get the framing material from their vendor. And, you know, I think that those are some of the types of issues that we're going to see in the long-term effect, is that even though our economy is up and running, it's also being stagnated by their vendors and their providers in getting materials here to Cedar City. So I don't know that we're really anywhere near getting over that. So I think that there's still going to be people that are going to suffer economically. I think that there's going to be people that this is just the tip of the iceberg for depression or other mental health issues. And I think that as a community, we need to pull together. You know, Iron County has always been fantastic about helping one another and coming to the aid of one another. And I think that that's going to be important in the future, to be aware of what our family members are going through, what our friends are going through, what our neighbors are going through, and look for ways that we can help lift that burden off of their shoulders a little bit and maybe share that burden with them.
I would just add as well, I think the sheriff's right on. As a community, I think we can provide opportunities, right? I know the concert that was held over the weekend, from what I am seeing and hearing on social media, I know that was met with some criticism, but I think that has largely affected people in a positive way, perhaps to the level that we won't even recognize, because it allows them to come out to engage in some level of normalcy. For Cedar City, I know the Lions Club is going forward with the 4th of July parade. So I think as a community, those are two examples of ways we as community members, in addition to being good neighbors and looking out for one another, is to provide opportunities. I don't want to diminish the effects of COVID, but I think people who are concerned can take measures to protect themselves, whether that is to stay away from those events or to protect themselves. But I think we need to provide opportunities for people to get out and to enhance their mental and physical wellness. That is critical right now, and those are just two examples of things that are done. And there's others that we can do also.
That's great. And this is a perfect segue so that I can give a shout out to a project that I'm involved in, where people could come out on Friday night into the downtown area, and there's going to be, you know, some art things and some music things and stuff for kids and food trucks and things like that. So watch for that coming forward, because I think both of you are really alluding to something that is so important, and that's the sense of community that this area has always had. And it's critical that we are able to reach out to our neighbors, I think. So very well stated. Thank you.
You know, let's something out that one of my neighbors is doing. About once a week, he puts on a kilt and walks around the neighborhood playing his bagpipes. So if you got a crazy talent like that, this is the time to show it off.
Well, I lived in Scotland for a while, so send him over to my neighborhood. Yeah.
Jesse, I'll get with you and get his number. Maybe he can come and be a performer at the downtown event. All right, let's pivot, because the other thing that I really wanted to get to is something that is very current. It's happening all around us right now, and that's the Black Lives Matter, the George Floyd killing protests. And we've seen some of that in Cedar City, in Iron County. Chief Adams, you wrote an absolutely inspiring piece that you read in front of the city council. And I hope everybody gets a chance to read that. It's fabulous. And Sheriff Carpenter, I saw you had stood up in front of the county commission and done something similar. It was just inspiring. So I wanted to give both of you some time to just talk about what is it like policing right now. Cedar City and Iron County, I think, are different than other places. So what is your experience? What does the community need to know about what's happening right here, right now?
Sure. Thank you, Jenny. I appreciate those comments. Those are far too kind. It's a challenge, to be quite frank, right now. You know, I think I speak for the sheriff and probably every law enforcement administrator in the country. The tactics that were used on Mr. Floyd were not appropriate. It's not anything that we train on. For the world, for the life of me, I can't understand why that officer felt the need to do that or to kneel on the back of someone's neck for more than 8 minutes. It just makes absolutely no sense. And so we certainly condemn those actions and those officers' actions. We have had two very productive protests over the last couple of weeks with members of Black Lives Matter, in addition to community members, community stakeholders. They've gone extremely well. And part of the comments I made in council were that the world could take a lesson from what happened in Cedar City and Iron County, because it was a group of people who had a message. They exercised their First Amendment right and did so peacefully. And the messages were conveyed. And as a result, particularly with Cedar City, we will continue to meet with those people. The mayor's already met with members of the Black Student Union and those to begin a dialogue. We had conversations with members of our SUU clubs that day to start a pattern of dialogue. And so it's good to see that. It's good to see people voicing things that they have concerns about. And again, I think I would speak for the sheriff as well when I say, as law enforcement, especially in Iron County, we're consistently trying to evaluate our practices and try to improve where we can, evaluate, listening to our officers who we consider the subject matter experts out there in the field doing the work, as well as citizens. I know years ago, a citizens review board was convened. I didn't agree necessarily with the manner in which it was. I believe it could have been handled better, and that was just from things I had heard. I'd never attended one, but I'm certainly not opposed to that idea with the right people involved, with the proper training being given so that they can have an opinion, they can give guidance, they can give input and allow us to improve where we can. And so I think you said it earlier, we're different here in Cedar City, Iron County, because of the community outreach and the community policing that we both embrace. We have relationships with our community stakeholders. And so it's easy to have those conversations. And it's also important to be humble, especially in these positions. You know, we serve the community, we are public servants, and it's important to listen to our community and find out where we can improve and do the best job possible. So really, you know, in speaking to the council, it was that. It was assuring them that we will listen, we will improve where we can. By the same token, we're not going to stand for, you know, people who would commit crimes or threaten our quality of life or act in such a way as they have in other communities. They'll be held accountable. They'll be arrested. And we're just not going to allow that to infect and infiltrate Iron County because we feel like we have a near perfect community here.
It sounds like a critical part of making sure that the problems we've seen in other communities not happening here is having that constant feedback loop. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I think it's critical that we're constantly engaging the community again, because you know, policing over the years has changed, and largely it's been driven by community input, you know, with the police. We often say, and in fact, it's a quote from the father of modern policing, that the people are the police and the police are the people. We have to rely on our citizens to help us police, and many of them have experiences that would certainly add value to what we try to do every day.
Excellent. One of the things that it keeps coming up is, in some departments, officers feel like they don't have the ability to hold each other accountable. What mechanisms exist here that allow them to do that?
Want to take it?
Yeah, I think a lot of different things at all different levels. You know, part of it is just that expectation. When that expectation is driven from the top down, that we need to police our own, that we need to make sure that we take care of our communities and also take care of our fellow officers and deputies. You know, part of taking care of them is stepping in and intervening before somebody is pushed to the breaking point. And sometimes in law enforcement, you see that. You know, we don't always deal with our average citizen that is a really good person. Sometimes we deal with the people that are, you know, very, very violent, very, very aggressive, very, very intimidating. And we have to deal with that. And sometimes an officer or deputy can get pushed to the breaking point where they may be thinking about stepping over that line. And that's where our fellow officers and deputies need to be able to read that, need to be able to step in and be able to intervene and stop them from doing something that's inappropriate. That's very important. But that, in part, has to be driven from the top down and be reinforced at every level. That's what we expect our officers and our deputies do to help take care of them and to take care of our community. It can come in other forms. One of the things that I instituted over at the sheriff's office since I became a sheriff is what we call point paper. It's just a one-page paper, problem, discussion, recommended solution. So that if a deputy sees an issue, that they have the ability of being able to say, this is a problem, this is the reason why it's a problem, and this is what we can do to resolve the problem. You know, because, you know, you don't always see everything when you're the sheriff or the chief. You don't always see things at the same level as the officer or the deputy does. So this is a means of being able to give them an opportunity of saying, this is something that we need to be able to correct to make things better. Citizen complaints. We have policy in place to take citizen complaints and to be able to investigate those complaints and come up with the resolution on those types of things. You know, Chief Adams talked earlier about citizen review boards. I'm not necessarily against citizen review boards, but it has to be done the proper way. And as he talked about earlier, about making sure that you have the right people on that board that are properly trained, because quite frankly, the average citizen has no idea in realistic terms of what our officers and deputies are dealing with on a daily basis. They have no idea about the use of force and what is appropriate force and when that force can be used. And so we need to make sure that if there's a citizen review board, that they can understand things, not just from the casual citizen sitting on the sidelines view, but also from the officer's view when he or she are in that situation dealing with that problem and have to make a split second decision on what they need to do in order to preserve life. And that's really what it is. It's preserving life and keeping people safe. So we need to be able to make sure that we do things in a proper order.
Yeah, I've heard that point brought up before. Someone said, you know, imagine a geek comes in techno babbling and someone says, "Well, I have no idea what you're talking about." Well, that there's a communication breakdown there, and I can see the same problem happening between law enforcement and ordinary citizens. Of we may not understand, you know, the intricacies of what's involved, or even the language that you're using, what that means, and having that dialogue of understanding, again, that feedback loop, I think that does go a long way to help.
Hey, Jesse, maybe just to illustrate, you know, a few years ago, this has always been a topic of discussion. There were some people in the media back east that were quite critical of police tactics. And so the police said, well, let's just invite you in and put you through some scenarios, which would be exactly what we would want to do if we formed a citizens review board, to try to put them through as much training as possible so they could at least try to have some level of understanding. Well, they brought the media in to do some simulations, which is simulating a use of force situation with a firearm, and had some actors. In both cases, the media fired and shot these perpetrators unjustifiably. And they said afterward, they said, you know, that happened so quick. I mean, I couldn't react. And I thought there was a threat there. I genuinely thought there was a threat. And so I think that just illustrates how quick that is, and to the sheriff's point. People just don't know unless you've done it, unless you're in it, unless you've trained or you've had those moments, split second moments to make a decision. It's literally quite impossible to replicate that in someone's mind. And so to that point, we would want to make sure people are well-trained and have a level of understanding to not to judge, but to accurately evaluate and provide guidance to us.
I think that's such an interesting point. When one stops to think about the breadth of activities that we ask law enforcement to be involved in, there's school safety, there's traffic stops, there's domestic violence, there's search and rescue. The number of different scenarios, I think, especially in a rural area like ours, you've got to do so much training, I would imagine, in order to be able to respond to so many different events that the community asks law enforcement to respond to.
Well, and you need to also keep in mind that even though we are a rural area, we have I-15 and several state highways that run through our county. And just according to UDOT statistics, just on I-15 alone, we have over 12 million vehicles a year passing through Iron County. You know, those people are stopping to eat or get gas or stay the night or whatever. You know, and a lot of those people are coming from Southern California, Las Vegas, Salt Lake, other places, and bringing their baggage with them. You never know what it is that we're going to be dealing with.
Yeah, that does bring up an interesting point. You know, you've seen the people out there who are saying defund the police, and when they pin them on that and say, please explain what you mean exactly, you get everything from, well, I mean, no law enforcement, period, to, well, we just want to take something off their plate. And, you know, to take something off your plate sounds somewhat reasonable. Other things that probably would be better served by taking off of law enforcement's plate and putting it into social services or crisis counselors, right, or someone like that.
You know, and that's a great point, Jesse, because over the years, legislature has done things that have crippled our society. For example, mental health. You know, they defunded the state hospital and turned a lot of people with mental health issues out on the street with no resources, nowhere to go, because no one else is dealing with it. And where does it end up? In law enforcement. My jail maintenance guy came to me the other day and he says, I'm putting a new sign out in front of the jail that's going to say Iron County Mental Health Ward, you know, and because we had so many people in the jail at that time with mental health conditions. And is that the right place for them? I don't think so. You know, but sometimes that's the only place for them to keep them safe and to try to get them into the system where we can try to get them some type of court-ordered mental health treatment. That's not the answer, though. We need to do something better. And, you know, so if they want to take some of those plates out or some of those things off of our plate, we're more than happy to help them.
Yeah, by the time it's in your lap, someone failed somewhere.
Right. Absolutely. No, and I think you're right on. I would echo the sheriff's comments. We, as law enforcement, have been asked to deal with far more things than we ever should have. The officers aren't trained, but we've become the ad hoc problem solvers for society, and we're not always going to have the right answer. And so if we're looking at reform to whittle down the list of responsibilities and put, you know, crime response, crime reduction, crime prevention, and things of that nature into our lap is really the appropriate thing, and try to find solutions for those other things with our support, of course, but that would be great.
I think there was some discussion at the legislature in the last regular session having to do with funding more mental health, and I think with the economic situation as it is right now, I'm certain that that's going to be affected, but that's something that we should start talking about more as a community, maybe, and as a state. How, if if we want to really help, we've got to provide the proper resources, and it can't just be, you know, putting them in the Iron County jail / mental health facility, right?
Exactly.
Well, what else would you guys like the community to know about what you're doing, what you're not doing? How can the community continue to be engaged? What should our people know about law enforcement in this area?
Well, that's a great question. You know, and first off, I think that what I'd like to say first off is how blessed we are to live in Iron County. You know, here last Saturday night, we hosted the Colin Ray concert out at Iron Springs Resort. And it turned out to be a great event. But for me personally, one of the things that was really great about it was my wife's reaction. You know, she has been very discouraged over the last couple of weeks with all the comments on Facebook and the condemnation of law enforcement in general. You know, we have two sons that work for Darren, and myself and my brother that are all in law enforcement. And, you know, we've seen comments by people that are our friends that really seem to have turned against law enforcement. It's been very, very discouraging. And, you know, she didn't want to go to the concert that night, but she went ahead and came with me anyway. And throughout the night at the concert, I literally had dozens of people come up to me and thank me for what, you know, I do and what my deputies do, what law enforcement in general does for our community. And at the end of the night, she said, "I am so grateful that I came because it's renewed hope. It's given me hope again." And I think that is the blessing of Iron County, is that we really have been blessed with a community that supports law enforcement, that stands behind law enforcement, that regardless of what's going on elsewhere in the nation, they still put their faith and trust in us, and they still let us know how much they appreciate us. You know, over the past couple weeks, we've had our front door at the sheriff's office heart attacked. We've had thank you cards. We've had one citizen bought $100 worth of pizzas for the deputies. You know, we've had people bring in cookies and, you know, gift bags and just all kinds of things. Just an outpouring of love and support by our community. And for me, that's very meaningful. You know, that is a testament of what a great community that we live in. And, you know, I think that one of the things that we want to make sure that we get out to the community is that we are absolutely here for them. We want to protect their constitutional rights. We want to do whatever we can in law enforcement to ensure that their needs are being met, that if they are a victim of crime or of something else that we can help with, that we want to do everything in our power to be able to help take care of our community and make this community a safer and a better place for everyone to be able to enjoy and to live in.
I would just say amen to that. I couldn't have said it better. I think the unintended consequences of this national narrative and the consistent attack on law enforcement has been the people come out in droves. I mentioned this at the Back the Blue event that Dan Kidder had organized last week, that my staff was getting upset because of the countless amount of treats and goodies that flooded through the door. And in this time of summertime, it's the time to try to lose weight, not gain. And so we so much appreciate what the community's done, and we appreciate all of you out there who look to us and who partner with us to make sure that Iron County and Cedar City are the best it can be. And so, you know, as we continue to work through this, which we will, this too shall pass, we just hope that we can continue to create great partnerships within the community, and that people know they can count on us. As the sheriff said, we are here for you. We're here to make sure that your fears and your concerns are alleviated. We hope to partner with you to address issues within the community that we may not see because, again, we're not out there all the time. And just our 100% commitment to everyone in the community that we want to work together to make Cedar City and Aaron County better than it is. And it's great, but we can always work with citizens to improve. And that's our commitment to all of you.
I think that's so well said. And, you know, personally, I've always appreciated the accessibility that this community has to law enforcement. I mean, when you call, someone answers the phone, you know. And I think this is maybe an opportunity to even build on that relationship that law enforcement has with this community, even though it's been a little rough nationally. It does bring it to a focus. And I know this community is very grateful for both of your leadership and all of your staff and officers that are out there serving and protecting. So thanks so much for coming in. We really, really appreciate your time today. Jesse, did you have anything else? I don't want to cut it off.
No, I just wanted to, you know, I agree completely with what you said. I hope that, you know, we can be an example to the rest of the country that's having, you know, problems to see, hey, here's how you can make sure that everyone's partnered together to do what's right for your community and make sure that there's not an adversarial relationship.
Again, very well stated. So Sheriff Ken Carpenter and Chief Darren Adams, can't thank you enough for giving us your time today. We really appreciate what you guys do. And hopefully you'll be able to come back on again and maybe give us some updates.
Invite us back anytime.
Thank you both.
Thank you.
All right. This has been Color Country Politics, and we hope this was good for you. This has been really exciting for us here. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you soon.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.